Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today.
If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 3, we'll read verse 25 and 26. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, "Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him." Heavenly Father, help us to understand the text. Help us to see Christ and somehow touch our hearts, that we would be more of a mind to follow him, and that we, as the text says, would decrease so that Christ might increase. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And as you can tell, I'm a bit congested, and I apologize for that. In our study in John the Baptist, this is part 67, and probably next week will be the last lesson. And I hope and pray that as we studied the life of John the Baptist and chased all the rabbits that I could find, that we've come to learn the Word of God better, and that somehow we understand more of the Old Testament and how it points to Christ, and that we've been edified. But let's go ahead and get into the text. It's strange. There was a question or an argument or a dispute between John's disciples and the Jews, the Pharisees would have you, about purifying. And that had to do with the Jews and their rules of how they ought to pray, or how they ought to fast, or how they ought to do rituals, such as the washing of hands and what have you. And apparently John's disciples were saying, no, it's not really how it should be. That we ought to trust God and lean upon him and believe him and not so much worry about external things. That the kingdom of God is in the heart and not the doing of religion. But then they go to John. And instead of saying, "Hey, John, you know, they're asking about purifying, and we said," and whatever. They don't say that. They've forgotten about that. They said, "Rabbi," John the Baptist, "you testified of Jesus Christ when he came to Jordan. You bear witness that he was the Son of God." Hey, well, you know, that guy, Jesus, he's baptizing too, and all men come to him. And as it turns out, a couple of these disciples as well, they left John and began to follow Jesus too. And this lesson, my goal is that we take a look at John's testimony of Jesus' gospel. Whatever Jesus taught, whatever Jesus did, hopefully we see John's commentary. And again, another perspective. Another perspective. But John's disciples asked him this question, or really didn't even ask that question. They got to the real thing. Hey, what about Jesus? And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. And as an aside, as we study the book of John, the books Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels because they're on the same page. They tell the same stories often, but their perspective is a human perspective. But the book of John stands apart. The book of John is told from God's perspective. And so the language is a little bit different, and certainly the perspective is different. But he says in answer, a man can't receive anything except it be given unto him from heaven. You can't receive anything from heaven except it is given to you. You can't understand spiritual things unless God from heaven gives you understanding. And he said in verse 28, you guys heard me say that I said I am not the Christ. I am not the Messiah. But my job was that I should bear witness of the Messiah when he comes. A little bit further down, we'll read those passages and we'll see that that is true. When Jesus stepped up, he pointed his finger and said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But he says, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not trying to be the Messiah. I'm here to tell others, hey, here he is. My job is to identify him when he shows up. And then in verse 29, he says that the guy that has the bride is the bridegroom. And we have a little bit different understanding nowadays. We think of in terms of the best man. But he says the friend of the bridegroom that stands by and hears him, or I guess the best man, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This, therefore, is my joy fulfilled. My job was to make ready for the Messiah to come. And now he's here, and now people are following him, and I've done my job, and my joy is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. One of the things that we read in Matthew, for instance, is that if we want to follow God, if we want to follow Jesus and be his disciple, we have to take up our cross and follow him. He went to his cross, he suffered, and he died. We too have to suffer and die. Let me say that again. We have to suffer and die just like Jesus. We have to lose our life if we want to find it. But if we try with all of our might to keep our life, we'll lose it. We must die to self. We continue to live, but our desires, we have to deny ourselves, or we have to betray ourselves. And John is showing exactly that. His job was to point his finger at Jesus when he showed up and not say, but what about me? No, John says, but what about him? What about him? But it says that he that received Christ's testimony has set his seal or given his signature that God is true. That's in verse 33. When you give your life to Christ and you see and hear and experience the wonders of God, when you taste and see that the Lord, He is good, and you agree, yes, I want Christ in my life, you are testifying that the book is true, that God is true, that the gospel is true, and you begin to live for Him. John chapter 1, verse 10 through 13. Jesus was in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. He came into his own. In other words, Jesus was born a Jew. He came to the Jews, but the Jews, the religious hierarchy would have you, received him not. But as many as did receive him, or who would believe the gospel, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You can be a son of God. Your life can be changed if you will believe and if you will take him into your life, if you will receive him, it says, and say, Lord, I need to decrease. I need to repent and turn from my sins. I need to live for you. And Lord, please increase in my life. The gospel has power. The gospel can change your life, fix your problems, and take you to heaven. But it says in, again, John chapter 3, verse 36, that he that believes on the Son has everlasting life. But he that doesn't believe in the Son won't even see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Back to John chapter 3, but earlier in the chapter. We know these verses, John 3:16, what have you. It says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so even must the Son of Man be lifted up. In other words, he had to be nailed to the cross and hung there or lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the famous verse, we know it, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And verse 18 again, John chapter 3, he that believes on Jesus Christ is not condemned, but he that doesn't believe is condemned already, because he hasn't believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. By default, or if you don't do anything else, when you die, you don't go to heaven. You go to the other place. If you want to escape hell, If you want to make it to heaven, you've got to accept Christ. There's no two ways about it. You've got to come to Christ. You've got to believe that God sent His Son to die for you. And again, John's job was to identify Jesus Christ when He came and then hand the ball off to the Lord. And all of John's disciples eventually stopped following John and began to follow Jesus. But John chapter 1, let's look there again. John chapter 1, starting at verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Everybody thinks that a lamb, oh, a wonderful little lamb, oh, he's so cute. And that's true. But he's talking about the Old Testament sacrifices where the priest on your behalf would take a lamb and kill it and catch the blood in a bowl or whatever. And I won't go through the whole thing, but that lamb took the place of you. That lamb suffered the penalty death for you, and you get to go free. Well, Jesus is the Lamb of God, not the symbol in the Old Testament, but the real Lamb of God that once and for all took away the sin of the world. Once nailed to the cross, hung, bled, died, was buried, and then rose again. He did it once, and His blood paid for all of our sin. And if we trust Him, if we believe in Him, we can have eternal life. But John is testifying. He said, Jesus stepped up and I didn't know who He was. I had no clue that He was the Messiah. But He's the Lamb of God. He's the Son of God. And you can read it in Matthew chapter 3. It talks in more detail. But John is saying that God sent Him to baptize with water and preach repentance. But God said, when you see the Spirit coming from heaven and remaining on Christ, remaining on Jesus, that's the one that'll baptize with the Holy Ghost. That's the one that will do something in the heart and clean you up and sanctify you and help you to live right and empower you to live right and empower you to tell somebody else of the good things that you found. And in verse 34, and I saw and I bore record that this Jesus is the Son of God. And again, the next day, John was back there at the River Jordan to baptize, and there were two of his disciples with him. And they looked at Jesus as He walked, and John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." He is identifying who Jesus was. And those two disciples, they listened to Jesus as He spoke. They listened to John and his testimony and his declaration that Jesus was the Lamb of God, and they followed Jesus. In other words, these two disciples, they did what John said. They followed Christ. And incidentally, those two disciples were James and John, the two brothers. But in John chapter 10, verse 37 to 42, "If I do not the works of my Father," Jesus said, then don't believe me. God said, I want you to do this and do that, and if I don't believe me because I'm not telling the truth. But if I do, and he's talking to the Pharisees, but he said, even though you don't believe me, believe the works, believe the miracles, because they testify of me. Believe the miracles that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. And once again, and I really haven't taught on this much, but the Pharisees and whatever, they tried to take him, to arrest him, whatever. And we know that they finally did and crucified him, but this was not the time yet. And Jesus escaped. And he went his way again beyond Jordan, into the place where John at the beginning was baptized, and there he abode. He camped out that night, what have you. He stayed a few days, whatever it was. And it says that many resorted unto him and said, man, John was great, but John, he never did any miracles. And they're talking about Elisha and Elijah and what have you. But everything that John said of this man, Jesus, it was true. And many believed on him there. Again, John's job was to identify Christ. And he did so, and people believed it, and they began to follow Jesus. And John, he did his job. And as we read at the beginning, this my joy therefore is fulfilled. So John had a message, John had a job, and he did it, and we ought to take his advice. We ought to do what John said and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Heavy, the
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's JoeyKelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street. Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.